Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Let me read a verse to you. We're going to continue our journey here through Revelation, where we left off in Revelation 17. We weren't quite done. We're going to finish that and jump right into 18 today. Let me read two verses at the end of chapter 17, verse 17 and 18. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the word, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. That's very interesting right there. God is in charge of some of this, isn't he? And he controls sometimes the will and decisions of who's going to lead these things. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. If you do not know what this great city is, you're still in kindergarten. It's the Roman Empire, but it's not necessarily a physical place, although the roots of it are Babylon and Rome and other places. But all right, we're going to bring Doc in. We're going to continue our discussion here. Revelation 17 and 18. Stand by. Hey, everybody. We're so excited to have you with us today. Brother Goodwin here and Dr. Charles Hiltabiddle. We're having a time going through the book of Revelation from chapter 1. And by the way, Doc, I don't know if people realize this. I don't know if we made it clear at the beginning. I was thinking about this in the truck today. Revelation doesn't just cover the tribulation period.
Oh, no.
It begins at the beginning of the church age with the church of Ephesus. Mm-hmm. Of course, he gives us an introduction there in chapter 1, but chapter 2 and 3 is the entire
church age.
2,000-year church age, which we're at the very final, maybe the final months, I don't know.
Yeah, we're getting close.
We could be in the final week, final month, final year.
And then the greater majority of it does cover the tribulation period,
chapter
so that's
4
why everybody
to 19.
Thinks it's what it's all about.
Yeah.
But then it moves into the millennial reign.
So it's 1,000 years
into
after.
Eternity belong.
Yeah.
You know,
how long's that, Doc? How long's eternity?
I don't know, man. That's going to be a long time without end. I like.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, you had a few things you wanted to add to our discussion.
Well,
here.
We were, you know, there's so much to cover in chapter 17. You might put up that first slide because chapter 17 and 18 is kind of giving you a little picture of what chapter 17 and 18 is all about. The woman riding on a beast. It's the relationship between the two and the emphasis that the religious system is going to have in molding the thinking of the world with that beast.
The verse you got there, Doc, that's the one I read. I didn't even realize that's what you had on that slide.
I know. And so, and the reason there's seven heads is because in chapter 17 ties back to chapter number 13. They go kind of together. And the seven heads, of course, are the Gentile kingdoms. I think I've got another slide of the Gentile kingdom,
now,
if she can find it there.
Can you go back to that slide real quick? I just want to point something out there. The woman riding that multi-headed beast, I think seven-headed beast. That woman is the religious system.
That's the system.
It's the church. It's the one world. We call it the one world church.
Right.
And that beast is the other beast in Revelation 13.
Yes.
There are two beasts. People get confused about this.
Yeah, that next slide she had up there shows
there's the Antichrist, and then there's the religious
Well, that's
guy.
What we had in chapter 13 was the Antichrist, the first beast, and the religious system, and its leader is the second beast.
And what I wanted to point out, she's already left the slide, but that beast that she's riding is going to throw her off.
Yes.
After the middle of the tribulation, when he becomes God,
because there's no more need for that system to push the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Now I have one more slide. I want you to say. I know it won't be as easy to read, but
this one.
What we're looking at is the tribulation period, which is the final the final segment of Gentile rule. And the Bible says in the book of Luke, until the fullness of the Gentiles will be come in. And it's amazing here in chapter 17, 18, and even 19, we discover that the cup of God's indignation is now come to the full.
Now explain to them, because you and I get it, the fullness of the Gentile, a lot of people don't understand
that. Well, the reason is this. God allowed the Gentile rule under Nebuchadnezzar to take control over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And even to this day, Israel is right now, in all the problems that they're in with the wars over there, are still limited by what the Gentile world limits them to. And so what we're seeing is the formulation of all of these phases in chapter number 2 and chapter 7 of the book of Daniel we talked about last time. Those two images there, that's a picture of the entire Gentile rule. And so what we're doing is we're getting ready to come in chapter 17. We are coming now to the end of the tribulation period, but this is telling us that we're coming to the final phase of the seven different phases of Gentile rule. Now it's going to morph into an eighth one, according to Daniel. That's that little horn that's going to come out and become the final leader.
And he's the Antichrist.
And so what the purpose of all of this is about is the tribulation is to bring the Gentile rule to the fullness of the cup of God's wrath so they can pour it out at the Battle of Armageddon. And the second purpose, and maybe the main purpose of the tribulation, is to purify a third of the Jews, because that's all that'll live through the tribulation to go into the millennial reign. And so chapter 17 gives us a picture of all of this Gentile rule.
Okay.
And as that beast.
And so it's all the Babylonian one world system made up of two entities, the religious and the political
and the commercial with it.
But the religious one goes first, and he becomes the religious guy.
The religious system is for the promoting of God.
Yeah.
Just like today in Christianity. I don't think it's a system, it's a relationship. But what Christianity does through the Word of God and through the teaching of it and the doctrines, what's it do? It magnifies and pushes us toward God. Christ, through Christ, to a relationship with God the Father. Yeah. And so that's what this religion is going to do.
And Satan has his counterfeit.
Yes.
He has his trinity. Satan represents
absolutely
God. The Antichrist represents Christ, and the false prophet is the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit's pushing the Antichrist into exalting him and everybody bowing down to
him.
So
that's what this woman that's pictured in chapter 17 is all about. It's a final end time religion. I think personally that this wokeism that has engulfed the world today is going to be a major part of that, because
it's feminism.
It's
all effeminate.
It's always been feminism. Yes. Yeah. And that's why
the men are becoming women.
Yeah. And a millstone tied around her neck. I mean, cast into the abyss. All of this is symbolic, but yes, feminism. And you're watching even quote unquote Christianity today becoming more and more feminized.
Yeah.
And so it won't be difficult when the rapture takes place to remove the church and the saints of God. That's going to change how the Holy Spirit works.
And the restrainer in us, which is the Holy Ghost, we're going to be removed.
It's going to be removed.
And you can't imagine, folks, the world that's going to be here.
And the delusion that's going to sweep the world with nothing to hold it back.
Yeah.
And so the chapter 17, and there's a whole lot, and there's a bunch of wonderful notes, I think, that help people. We don't have time to go through all of them.
Do you want to just summarize?
Well, one of the things that's in there in chapter 17 is the 10 kings, or anytime you find the word mountain or trees used in prophecy, it's always symbolic of nations. And so at some time, I believe, during the first half of the tribulation, I don't know for how long, it says they're going to receive their authority or power for a short time. But the world and somehow another is going to be divided into 10 segments. Now, it might be, as you pointed out, and what you're getting ready to do in the live streaming on the return of Rome, it could be the 10 major segments or nations that made up the Roman Empire. Or I believe that because it's more of a universal global thing, it's probably going to be these 10 kings are going to represent 10 segmentations of the world.
And we pretty much have some of that in place now.
And many of these elite movements out there, Council of Rome and all of these other entities, Illuminati, seem to all have some kind of an idea of an end time or of a government of 10 segments somehow or another.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing about prophecy is God tells us what's going to happen, but he didn't give us all of the minute details of how that's. So in chapter 17, we have the woman and the relationship with it. As you said a while ago, it goes all the way back to Babylon.
Yeah.
That relationship, and I don't think it is any coincidence that it would appear from historical research that Semiramis was probably the high priestess of the mystery religion that came out of Babylon.
Yeah, because the Babylonian thing in Genesis 10 and 11 is political and religious.
It is.
The religious part has a woman.
Yes.
And like Catholicism
and
does.
A lot of people, Semiramis's picture is all over the world. Matter of fact, what we call Lady Liberty outside there in New York, the standing, that is nothing but a replica of Semiramis. And her picture is all over the world in major buildings and major things like that statue in New York.
And the political side of old Babylon was one man leading it.
One man leading it.
And it's all going to come into fruition here. But what we're reading in 17 is the end of it.
It's the end of it because it says the cup of the fullness of his wrath has been now filled up.
All right.
God has allowed what started there to infect and affect the political and religious affairs of the world for 4,000 years. And it's finally coming to an end.
And it talks about the blood of the martyrs.
Yes.
And that's a clue here
as
to this entity, who this woman is.
And he makes it clear in chapter 17 that those who are present, those prophets and those that were martyred, you're getting justice for what happened to
you. And those are the souls under the altar we see in chapter 6, I think it is, or 5 anyway.
Fine. You know, they're going to get the full recompense of a reward.
How long, O Lord, before thou avenge our blood on those who dwell in the earth? These are the martyrs of the Inquisition.
And this is showing, because, folks, this 17 and 18 is an interlude, and as we'll see probably in our next program, early verses of chapter 19 go with this.
Yeah.
This is, as you pointed out a while ago, God's in control, and God's got the cup of his wrath.
Okay.
But he's waiting until it is full. That's why it ties back with that chart we looked at a while ago, when the fullness of Gentiles come in.
Yeah.
And it all revolves around a statement you made in your early introduction. I think it was, it's all about Israel. Because when Nebuchadnezzar began and took over Jerusalem and destroyed the first temple, that's when God started the time clock of Gentile rule, holding a cup, I suppose, so to speak, putting in all the things of the Gentile rule now since Nebuchadnezzar day, which was about 605 B.C. And so for about 2,500 years, God's got the cup of indignation and wrath for the Gentile rule. And now, whenever they break the last straw and they have come after the Jews, hiding in the last 3.5 years, God said, okay, it's full. Now, gather your army together at Armageddon. We'll settle this.
Yeah. And I think I have this mapped out from Babylon to, you know, 605 B.C., somewhere thereabouts to Israel becoming a nation again is somewhere around 2,520 years, which is the tribulation of 2520.
Yeah, it's
just a coincidence.
Just everything's just a coincidence, I
guess. Well, in my Revelation study guide, I call Revelation 17 the fall of religious Babylon. Mm-hmm. Chapter 18 is the fall of political Babylon, the same Babylon, just different entities within it, just like Babylon in chapter 10 of Genesis. They had the religious and the political.
Yes.
Let me just give a couple lessons here. Lesson number one, and I have a whole series here. I have 8 points that I'm not going to give them in the show now. Why I believe that this entity is Roman, and Catholicism. I got like 8 points here to
because
back
Catholicism
that up.
Today is a modern update of the original Mysteries of Babylon.
Yeah. But you can get the study guide and get there. We don't have.
Before, let me insert.
You got
this.
Something?
Yes. My statement there, I have a 4-CD set on this. The first one is the historical understanding of Nimrod's world. Fantastic insight and study there. And then 17 and 18. I think this is what you're talking about, what we're talking about here today, because the old is actually what we call now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right down to the golden chalices that they performed the mass with and all that. Yeah, a few lessons that I give. I always give lessons and application at the end of each chapter here. Judgment Day is soon coming for what the Bible calls the great whore, Revelation 17:1. That's strong language, I realize, but that's Bible language. That's what he calls this thing, the great whore. Number two, politicians court this great whore because of her wealth, power, and influence, Revelation 17:2. Revelation 17:4, the world's religion looks good on the outside, but is filthy on the inside. Number four, God makes it clear in Revelation 17:5, in bold print, that this great whore is the mother of all false religion and wickedness in the earth. She spawns them. And I could go into a lot more detail on that, but we won't. Number five, the beast shall destroy the one world religious system once he has used it to achieve his objectives. And that's 16 and 17 here. And, and you can read that for yourself where he throws her off his back. Mm-hmm. And we had the picture up a while ago on that. How does this apply to me? Remember to love the sinner while hating the false religious system.
Yep.
Love the people, but hate that system, that beast. Number two, are you in the public arena to some extent, and do you compromise your beliefs to earn the favor of the rich and powerful? I think that's what you were talking about in our update, why it's so hard for preachers to turn around and reverse their journey into apostasy and all that. It's hard to. Next, are you on the inside? Are you on the inside what you show to others on the outside? And I suppose nobody is perfectly what we appear to be to others.
Well, that's why he says, I can't remember exactly where it is in the text, but he said to come out of her.
Yeah, it does say that, come out of her.
Come out of her. So here's the thing, Dad. John is writing, I sometimes think there's a few inferences in there where it's like something sticks out and says, this is what's going to happen when that happens, but this system is at play. You need to come out of her.
I had a guy texted me. He was up in Michigan. I forget his name. He said, I'm getting out of America because America is Babylon and the Bible says come out from her. He misunderstands
the symbolism
there. He's talking about get out of that system.
Yeah.
Don't be a part of that.
Well, if that's the case, is he going to move to Europe?
I don't know.
Then he'd be right into it.
I think he wanted to go to Israel. And they got their problems too.
Absolutely.
Is your life influencing people for bad or for good?
Amen.
That's number four. And number five, when the world gets all it can from you, it casts you aside. That's what the Antichrist does to the false prophet.
That's exactly
gets all it
right.
can and throws it away. Yep. He becomes the religious. He becomes Henry VIII, we talked about last week.
Like you talked about Henry VIII.
Yeah, he becomes the head of state and the head of the church at that moment. And history repeats itself.
Folks don't realize, but But the inference in the Old Testament time was that Nimrod was seen as the first Assyrian.
Now
it's a spirit of Assyria.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Can I put you on the spot?
You do.
I do it all the time. This is my closing statement here, and I want to see what your take on this, because this is a shocking verse. This, remember now, John in his mind is seeing these things from heaven's point of view.
He's got to be blown away.
He sees this one world church. He sees Revelation 5, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots, Abominations of the Earth. Look what he says here, and here's my statement here. Notice John's reaction to this one world church of the tribulation in verse 6. Could it be that he is startled by how something that is called a church could deceive the world into thinking it's something good? But let me read it. I want your take on this, Doc. Now, here's John speaking after he sees this one world church and all that. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
No.
Have you ever given any thought to that?
He was just, he looked at it and he was just absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
That something that could have originally been so good and used of God is now so greatly polluted that it's used in such a manner.
Look what the Lord says to him in verse 7.
Yeah.
An angel. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I got that underlined.
Yeah.
I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast. In other words, sit down, John. Let me explain to you what that is.
And in the end, in the explanation is, hey, judgment's coming.
Yeah. But this one world religious system with its golden chalices and tapestries hanging from the walls, people walking around with crosses.
Yep. Yep.
They're powerful and they look so good.
Yep.
But yet it's the great whore that he talks about who commit fornication and martyred the...
And as we pointed out last time, that wine, I'm convinced, is demonic.
Yep.
It's the doctrines of demonic teaching. And boy, it has engulfed what's called today. I always use the parentheses... Christianity, because modern Christianity is nowhere near biblical Christianity.
Yeah.
And it's because they have been drinking. And part of that latter-day drinking is they don't know which Bible to get a drink out of.
Yeah. Well, Doc, we've done 2 weeks on chapter 17. And I think there's a lot more
we got a few minutes. Because 18 gives a little more information. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, folks, before we do that, just real quickly, our bill is coming up real soon. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spend any time on it.
Yeah.
God knows. And God knows what we need. And God's in charge. If he wants us to stay on the air, God will touch somebody's heart. So if you're one of our partners or maybe you've never given before, contact us, pray about it, and do what the Lord says. And and if God wants us to stay on the air here, God will provide. So, Doc, that brings us to chapter 18, which is the same Babylon, the same end time entity, only
it talks about the destruction of the end time Babylon.
Let me just read a couple of verses here. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. I use that a lot.
Yeah.
And I often say America is fallen. People are always asking, where's America in the Bible? I believe the system of Babylon is headed up in the Beltway.
It is at the moment. You see it stronger than I do there. I agree with you that that's where it's seated right now.
Yeah.
But, folks, if this next coming election goes the way the devil wants it to go, I could see where everything in America will be crashed and your Roman Empire is going to take over.
Yeah.
But
and right now that Roman Empire, the revised system, is being controlled by right here.
Yeah.
And if we haven't seen anything in the last 3 years, we've seen that.
We've seen it.
And the deception and the wickedness
see that,
of our government.
But we can see how easily a system could be moved from one place to another. And Babylon here, it's talking about the system of it.
Now, verse 4 talks about, come out of her, my people. There's that verse I was talking about.
Verse.
I think I thought it was in 17. But just look at some of the things that give you a clue here as to the end, who we're talking about. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. That's when the smoke is rising over this city that we see in verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And then the merchants of the world begin to weep.
Right.
And you can see it down in verse 15. The merchants of those things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city. Now, when I read through this chapter, I see America. I see that America has been the milk cow of the world. We still are. Now, we're broke, but we're still sending money around the globe.
We are, but again, it is a system.
Yeah.
And any system can easily be headquartered anywhere.
That's right, sure. Yep.
And you see America in the Bible stronger than I do.
And I say in my book where I write about this, The Mystery of Babylon, mm-hmm. I make a quote in there and I say, think of Babylon not as a place, but as a system.
But here's something we have to see when we're studying, and we'll pick it up here next time. But when you're studying it, the greater majority of the book of Revelation is signs and symbols and symbolic uses. But then whenever he comes along and makes certain statements like the city and smoke, these things are literal. And we'll pick it up next time because we don't have time here. But there are both
maybe let us extend into the next half hour.
Chapter 18 and 19 go together. And what we're looking at is a great city. It says a city, and it says the smoke of the city. And it makes it clear that it's not the same city as Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is going to be parted into three parts, and all of the other cities are going to be destroyed.
Look at verse 19, in the middle of it. Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.
That's why I say it's hard sometimes to differentiate, is the city something that's literal, or is the city being used figuratively? Yeah. We'll pick that up next time, because I have some things that I think will help with that.
And it is interesting, if you go to Google Earth on your phone, type in the word Babylon, you'll be shocked. There's only two Babylons in all of Google Earth. One is in Iraq. One is in New York City. I got a picture of the sign, Welcome to Babylon, New York. And anyway, interesting stuff. Well, folks, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.